Tonight to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. If you're, I hope every one of you in your classes will do this, make names of your class roles and give them, let me just tell you if you can, give them to Rhonda because I'll lose them. I bet I'll lose this one. She gave it to me a while ago. But more than likely, that's what will happen if I keep it. But give it to Rhonda at the office, and she'll put them together, and we'll have names. And I don't know if you have telephone numbers of everybody in the church or not, but I don't. And I can't call half of you because I don't know your number. And the numbers I have are in the bottom of the lake, and the little fish down there probably calling you. But now the numbers I have are wrong. Many of them are wrong now, if you're looking at the old books. So if you'll get a list in your class, it don't have to be this week, but type it up, get it to us, or write it up, get it to us, and then we'll have a recent telephone number so we can call you, and you can call us, okay? That'd be nice. Several classes have already done this. In the Sunshine class, you've done it, and I appreciate you. For doing that, and I won't lose it. I'll try not to. Did I say 1 Thessalonians? Well, see, I've done lost it. It's 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, man. 2 Thessalonians. We are starting with verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you abound towards each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight as we read your word. Lord, speak to our hearts. Let us open up the eyes that we might see the word, and ears that we might understand and listen. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Now here in our passage of Scripture, Paul is writing about the trials and the troubles of this early church. Naturally, when we face difficult times in our life, there's all kinds of questions that arise. We are known for asking why. Amen? We always seem to ask ourselves, why, God, did this happen? Well, it's not wrong to ask why. I would remind you that even Jesus Christ asked, why have you forsaken me, Lord? This was a question. And it revolved around the righteousness of God and the justice of God. And they were facing persecutions in their life. They were facing tribulation in their life. Now, we're also, we see that in tribulations, we ask those questions. Maybe the devil will throw up things at us. If God really loved you, you wouldn't be having trials like this. I've heard preachers in churches saying, well, the reason you're having so many problems is you must be doing something wrong. Well, we know that Job's friends, good friends as they were, did the same thing. Now, these were difficult days that the believers, the early church, were facing, and they were going through these persecutions, and some of the young believers thought, what these false teachers or whatever saying might be true. So Paul writes to deal with those questions and matters of trials and tribulations, persecutions, those things that we face today, even in our life, and give them ease. So Paul writes, in God the Father, Jesus Christ, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he first talks about our position. that we have in God. Man, don't you know that you've got a position tonight? If you are saved, you are in Christ, and He's in you, and that's our spiritual position. I believe we talked about that in our Sunday school class. It's important to know your position and that you are in Christ tonight. I hope every one of you is saved and you're in Christ. Now, 2 tells us about the source of the process, progress in the Lord. From God, He gives grace and peace. And it's through God that He gives. God is a gracious God. He's full of grace. And He also gives us peace in our life. So we know that if we are in Christ, we have God's grace and peace in our life. Look at verse 3. Paul's heart is filled with thanksgiving. He is thankful to God for them. Folks, there's people in our churches and people in our church and people all around you that they need your encouragement. Let's put it that way. They need you to speak a word of encouragement to them. They need, as Christians, we need to show them love and kindness. And Paul is saying, you know, I'm thankful to God for you, that you've kept on, that you're keeping on in your faith. And he's thankful for the progress that they have made in their lives. Doesn't it do you good to see a young person come to Jesus Christ and they get into the Word of God and they start studying the Word of God and they start making progress in the Word of God and trials come their way? That's part of life. And they overcome those trials and they begin to grow in their faith because of those trials. It does you good. But even those young people and our adults, we need that spoken word of encouragement, you see. Hope you got that gift of encouragement in your life. And he says, we are bound to thank God for you. It's only fitting that we thank God for you in our lives. And then he says that we glory in you in the churches. Now, Paul has started these young churches, and these young churches are going through the persecutions, and these churches are prevailing, and God is moving in their lives. And Paul says, I thank God for what he's doing in your lives. And he expresses that great pride in them. I thank God that we can encourage other churches, that we can encourage our missionaries like Zach. And we're going to have another young man that was down here last night in our church. They're missionaries over in Ethiopia. And, you know, we're going to encourage them also. Folks, it's good. It's good that we can encourage them. It's good that we can be a part of those ministries. And it's good that they know that a church is lifting them up in prayer. You see, the devil is all over. He works not only in this church, but all our churches. He works not only in your life, but he works in our missionaries' lives, in our lives. We need those spoken words of encouragement in our life. And, you know, so many times we discourage people. Somebody said about you, I believe it was you, about when you got saved or something, went back in and told the preachers and evangelists, and they said, oh, okay, good. Kind of threw a wet towel on you, did, brother. Well, we don't need that. There's a lot of wet blankets thrown us. What progress Paul is talking about here is in verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope. Now, these three words explain the Christian life. Faith, that reaches out to the past. And we receive Christ by faith in what Christ did on the cross. Love, that reaches back to the present and describes how our Christian lives ought to be every day. You see, One thing that I had to learn over the years is how to love people. You see, not everybody is lovely, are they? Not everybody is easy to love. Let's put it that way. You have to work at it, because not everybody thinks the same as you do. So we have to learn to love one another. That's part of the Christian life. And I hope you can love, and I hope you can forget, and I hope you can forgive, because if you can't forget and you can't forgive, you're not going to grow in your Christian life. You've got to put those things past you. You see, I could be mad at half the people in here if I didn't put it past me. Really. And you could be mad at me if you didn't put it past you. But see, that's what the Christian life does. You have love for one another and encourage one another. And then there's hope. The Christian life gives hope for the future. Man, I got something to look forward to. We may not have a whole lot to look forward to down here, but man, we've got something to look forward to in heaven. Man, I know, you know, this is not all there is, folks. Now tonight, I want you to search your heart and see if your faith is growing. Now, folks, that's important. Is your faith growing? Now, some of you are older than others. Some of you just started your Christian walk not long back. And you may have, it was God. God has given each of us a measure of faith. And in that faith he's given us, it's enabled us to receive our Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And I hope we've done that tonight. I believe that the crowd that's here probably have received Christ, or they'd probably be watching the Super Bowl. But I'm trusting that most of you here are saved tonight. If you're not saved, I pray that God will show you that and that you will come and be saved before the service is over. But the question is, after you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior, invited him into your heart, the question is your faith growing? Have you grown? Now, the faith of these young believers in Thessalonica here was growing. He says, because of your faith growing exceedingly. He says, your faith in Christ Jesus has grown at a tremendous point in your life. And the love of every one of you abounds towards each other. They had a growing faith, and they had a love that was just out for each other. And I believe that's our church, really. I believe we've got a good group of people here that their faith is growing and their love is growing for one another. Now, he devotes chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians to the subject of their faith. And Paul has a real desire to visit them and help them continue that growth in their faith. So he works on that. But faith is not supposed to be just a dead standstill faith. It is supposed to grow, and it's supposed to be real, and it's supposed to be abounding, moving forward. Now, how does it grow? Well, let me tell you, it grows through the persecutions and trials in our life. You see, it's like when things come our way in life, which are hard, and we don't understand them. As we look to Christ as our peace and as our strength, our faith grows when we come through those trials and tribulations. If it wasn't through those trials and tribulations, you know, we wouldn't have any pressure on us. We wouldn't grow. How do we get strength in our arms and legs? Well, we exercise. And if you don't exercise those legs, you don't exercise those arms, you lose them. There has to be that exercise in our body. Well, it's the same way with our faith life. If you want your faith to grow, you've got to exercise that faith. Start believing God for something. If I ask you tonight, what are you believing God for right now? Could you write it out on a sheet of paper? What are you believing God for? Is there a lost person you believe in God for right now? Well, let me tell you something. If you're not believing God for something, to me, your faith is not going to grow, you see. You've got to start believing God for things in your life. Lost people, souls to be saved, maybe a problem in your life you're trusting God for. I've said many a time, when you have a problem, when you have something, get in the Word of God. Look at the Word of God, see what it says, and you can claim those promises in the Word of God. But if you don't know the promises of God, then you're not going to claim them. You're not going to start believing Him for things if you don't know His Word, if you know what it says. So get into the Word of God. Look at those things in your life. Find what you're believing God for, a lost person, or some of you may be believing God for something financially. He's going to take care of a financial problem. You know, God's interested, I believe, in everything that you do as a Christian. If you're serving Him, if you're living for Him, man, I tell you what, He's working in your life. It may be He's leading you somewhere. I don't know. I talked to a young man the other night. It was just good. And I'll tell you what I did. I tell you what, Brother Tim Klein. Tim was a member here and still is a, I call him one of those members. He'll be back one of these days when the Lord moves him or something. But, you know, he went out to a little church outside of Weatherford, out there in the boondocks. And when he got there, he was just as happy. He surrendered there. He went there. He called me the night on the phone, asked about something, and I was talking to him, and I said, well, how's the church doing? He said, brother, we had 5 people at the first service. And I said, well, praise God for those 5. And he said, I am. And he said, now we have 20. And I said, well, praise God. Man, you doubled your attendance, see? And some people say, why would you go? It's close to 200 miles out there to drive. Why would you go 200 miles out there to preach to 20 people or 5 people? Because they need a preacher too, you see. It's not about making money. It's not about you doing this. It's your obedience to God, see. And I said, Tim, you know, God knew those people out there needed a pastor. And you was the one He chose to send out there. You see, everybody needs a preacher. Everybody needs the Lord. And he said, you know, Brother Booney, he said, these people don't know a whole lot about the gospel. And I said, good. Train them up right. Man, train them right. And he's working on that. You see, God wants us to do those kind of things and grow our faith like that. Faith is supposed to be a living faith. And Paul said, I thank God that your faith is growing exceedingly. That word exceedingly is a picture of a beautiful plant as it buds and blossoms and grows. I think that's the way a Christian is. A Christian's life that is growing and in the faith is budding and blooming, and it's something beautiful to God. I like flowers, Ron, and we've killed a lot of them. I plant them and they die. But you know what? I keep planting them every spring, and I told her the other day, I said, you know, we need to hire somebody to come out here and clean out these flower beds and plant those beautiful flowers again. And she said, that's good. We like to watch them grow. We like to watch the blooms. And it's the same way in a young person's life or an adult's life when they come to Jesus Christ. Watch them bloom for the glory of God. And our faith is continued to grow in our lives, all our lives. Now, how does it grow? Well, it grows by getting into the Word of God. It grows by witnessing to others. It grows every time I see somebody come to know Jesus Christ, you see. It grows every time I see another church start. It just continues to blossom. Oh, and Bible studies, it grows. Sunday school, it grows. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And every time the Word of God is read, every time the Word of God is preached, I believe somebody's faith grows. That's the reason it's important to come to church on Sunday morning. That's the reason it's important to come to Bible study on Sunday morning. That's the reason it's important to come on Sunday night. That's the reason it's important to come on Wednesday night. Man, I'm enjoying Wednesday night. The Word growing. Man, it's good. So come. And look at verse 4. For your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations. Their trials have made their faith grow. We grow because of those things. Small trials, I believe, in our life, get us ready for the bigger ones that we're going to face. When I came here as a pastor many years ago now, 30-something years ago, this was my first real pastorate. I didn't know anything. I was honest with you. I didn't know nothing. Didn't even know how to preach. Still don't know how to preach. But, you know, I didn't know anything. But I said, Lord, if you're ever going to do something, you're going to have to do it through me. Do it. You see, let me grow. And let me tell you what. We had one trial right after the other. One little trial right after the other. And I thank God they were little trials. Because later on in the ministry, big ones came. And if I didn't know how to deal with those little trials, I never would have been able to deal with the big ones. You see? Praise God for those little trials that we go through. It helps us to overcome in those big ones. Oh, how I love the Lord and as He deals with us in our growth. You know, and then is your faith not only growing, is your love showing? Is your love showing? It says here that their love for Christ is showing of everyone that it abounds. It's overflowing, that word abounds, overflowing. I believe just like we give to different things, we have a love for missions, we have a love for people. Somebody told me the other day, now this is from another minister, and this minister has watched this church over the years, and I happened to be with him, and he said, Booney, he said, you know what y'all do different than anybody else? And I said, no, what? He said, you care for your own people. He said, you care for your own people. He said, I've watched you over the years. I don't know a church alive that takes care of their people like First Baptist Gunbarrel. And I said, well, I thought that's what we're supposed to do. He said, we are. We are supposed to, but when we have someone in our church with a need, there's always a grumble about taking care of that need. When y'all seem to have somebody in y'all's church with a need, people give to it, and it's taken care of. And he said, I've noticed that over the years. And I thought, well, you know, you're right. We don't have people grumbling about helping somebody out. It's just done. And that's how a church love overflows. And one of the tendencies of a church our size is to just turn inward and never reach out. And this church not only turns inward, but it helps on the outward side too. I don't know of a Southern Baptist church that not only gives to Lottie Moon, Annie Armstrong, state missions, but also gives to individual missionaries too, independent missionaries, like Brother Francois. I've had some pastors say, "Y'all mean y'all helping those independent missionaries too?" I said, "They're people. They're God's people. And if you've been down there to visit with them, you've been on the mission field with them, you know that they need help. And even though they're not Southern Baptists, man, I'm all for helping people. It doesn't matter as long as they're reaching people for Christ, you see? And I just think our church does that. The worst possible thing that I know a church can do is only help themselves and never help anybody else. Folks, when you turn inward and say, "Look at us, look what we've done, and that's it, our people, no further," then that's a church that's going to decline, I guarantee you. God wants you to overflow in your giving, overflow in your outreach, wherever you may go. And then is the hope persevering? 1 Thessalonians 3, he talks about a work of faith, a labor of love, and a patience of hope. Now in 2 Thessalonians 3, is the faith there? Yes, I believe it is. Is the love there? Yes. What about the hope? What about our hope? Your patience in all your persecutions. That word patient means to bear up under the pressure. Man, keep on keeping on. Keep on doing what you know to be doing. Still under the trials, still under the persecutions, still under all the troubles, these churches, these people were continuing to do what God wanted them to do. Now, I'm not going to make more out of this than there is, but in 1 Thessalonians, hope is mentioned 4 times. And in 2 Thessalonians, it's only mentioned 1 time. Now, I think the teachings they had were really shaking their faith. I think these things were really shaking them. And sometimes I hear people say things like, "Oh, preacher, is there any hope for us in the United States? Things are not going to get much better, are they? I've almost lost hope in my family." And you know what I tell people? Don't lose your hope. Don't lose hope. The New Testament hope doesn't mean doubt. It means a faith. And these people were being taught that, "Oh, you're in the great tribulation, and there's not a lot of hope in that, is there?" No. In Titus 2:13, it says this, and I've read this scripture and I love this scripture, that no matter how bad it gets, we are looking for that blessed hope. You know what that blessed hope is? It's Jesus Christ. And we're looking for that glorious appearing, and that's Jesus Christ. And the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Folks, I'm looking and I'm anticipating the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to let all the false teachings shake my hope. Man, my hope is in Christ. When the winds blow against me and the storms come, My anchor is set in Jesus Christ. You see, it's not how the finances of this world, it's not in the economy. My hope is not in Dow Jones. My hope is not in Washington. My hope is not in Donald Trump. My hope is in Jesus Christ. Man, the Lord just shook that tree back there. Amen. You see, our hope is in Jesus Christ. Don't lose hope, Paul's telling them. Don't lose that faith that you have. Don't lose that love that you have. Keep it growing. Keep it multiplying. Keep on doing what's right. And our hope, don't lose hope. He's going to come back. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Folks, he's going to come. Those angels told those guys, why stand ye here gazing into heaven? Jesus, who went up, he'll come back one day, just as he went up. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the trump of God shall sound, the dead in Christ arise. Woo, it's going to be glorious. Don't lose hope. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for the faith that we have, that you gave us. And Lord, that faith, I pray tonight, is growing. Lord, I pray that our love is showing, and I pray that our hope is enduring and growing in Christ Jesus every day. Lord, if there's someone here tonight that needs to come to Christ, they've never trusted you as Lord and Savior, tonight, may you lead them to you. Let them accept you by faith and start that walk. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.